Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, and Dr. Katie Eastman. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth and Katie.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking a break. If you're on the East Coast listening, from the beautiful snowicane that we're having right now, that is about to not turn so beautiful, I think, once the winds actually hit. I'm here in Maine, and we're on the outer bands of the storm. Katie, and we already have like 5 inches of snow. I'm like, oh no, this is going to be awful. How's the weather out there in Washington?
Oh, and I'm sitting here, and it's a sunny, I'm sitting by the fireplace looking out at a sunny day with absolutely no white stuff and saying, thank God I'm out here and no longer in Maine.
We're about to have 2 feet of snow, I think, or more, actually. If you look at like weather.com or if you look on TV, it's got like a circle around Portland, Maine, like you guys are getting it. So I think it's going to be terrible. I know they canceled school last night at like 10 o'clock, and I was teasing my kids all night long. All four of them were like, we're not going to have school tomorrow. I'm like, get your homework done in case you do. No, we're not going to have school. I'm like, but you got to do your homework, guys. And they're like, we're not going to have school. It was so funny. And so I ended up letting them stay up late, but, you know, and they were right. They didn't have school, so. All right, yeah. So just a little bit of thank yous before we begin. I just want to thank Blog Talk Radio for all of their support and in featuring our show and so forth. This show is actually going to be featured after it airs. With their new system and so forth, our feature request didn't quite make it in there. So, Antonia, the show will be featured after it airs, which is wonderful. And Blog Talk Radio is so fantastic with us in Twitter. We have over 130,000 people following Best Ever You in Twitter, and we're very active with all of our fans. So tweet us at Best Ever You if you have any questions for Antonia as we go here. And, you know, we're just going to have a chat. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We have Antonia Vandermeer. She is the, do I call you editor or editor-in-chief? Or
either is fine, or you can just call me Antonia. That's easier, that but yeah, it's editor. It's editor-in-chief of Coastal Living.
Well, you know, your picture is so darn adorable. You just can't
Thank
help
you.
But smile when you see your picture. And I'm like, oh, she's just going to be so warm and friendly. I can't wait for you to be on the show.
Sounds like warm is a good thing today.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I'm
much
like,
snow
everywhere. This is a snow break, folks. For everybody listening over the next hour, just go. We're going to do one of those visual exercises where we're all in the sun. We're all in 80-degree weather. We've got shorts on, swimsuits, and we're going to talk about coastal living someplace other than Maine right now. But tell you know, so you're the editor of Coastal Living magazine. Before we get started in everything, can you tell us what that magazine is, because some of our listeners might not know, and
sure.
You know, and just a little bit about you, who you
okay.
are. Yeah.
I absolutely will. Coastal Living is a terrific magazine. It really is featured and focused on people who love the water, love being near the water. It's very much a magazine about decorating your home and making your home beautiful and really friendly and open to family and friends and pets, which is so often the case with seaside homes. And it also covers travel. We've got a great travel section and a great food section as well. So there's plenty of things to do in a coastal kitchen that are fun and easy and fresh and very inviting because, again, we say you don't know how many friends you have until you own a beach house. So lots and lots of people tend to be coming through your doors.
Or one in the mountains. I know that drill from owning a house in Tahoe. Everybody always wanted to.
And everybody wants to come visit, which is so nice. So Coastal Living is just filled with lots of inspiration. A lot of our readers tell us it just feels like a vacation. They love getting it in the mail or buying it on the newsstand because it has these gorgeous photos, beautiful views, beautiful homes, and lots of good tips on how you can get some of the looks that we feature in the magazine as well.
Katie's over there drooling. I can hear it.
Honestly, my husband is like, will you just put the Travels magazine someplace.
Okay, yeah, I've got audio on you.
So
I don't know
heavy.
Why. Katie?
Oh.
I have bad audio on you for some reason. So while you fix that, I'm going to talk to Antonia for a minute here. I keep saying that. That's my Easter.
Okay, I'll call back.
Yeah,
in.
Antonia. At least I don't put an R at the end of it. Antonia. Using. You know, while Katie's fixing her audio, what I really want to say is welcome to the Best Ever You Network from a standpoint of, wow, I can't believe all the amazing things you've accomplished in your life. I'm looking
at... Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
Oh, what an inspiration you are to all women and men probably too, listening for all the books you've written. You've served as editor for so many different magazines and so forth. Can you tell us how you got involved with this as a career?
Well, it's something that I just always loved. I've always loved magazines. I always loved writing. It was something I was interested in from the time that I was in grade school and was a little girl. So I know sometimes that's unusual to kind of know what you want to be since you were little, but that was a goal of mine from the time I was very young. So I was very lucky, and I was able to actually realize that dream. And I have been the editor of a number of different magazines, and I have written a bunch of books as well. And it's just such a fun career. At magazines, you really get to share a lot with your readers. You get to know your readers. It's really being part of a community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way to use, you know, if you do like to write and you're also a visual person and you like to see how things are best packaged and put together, it's a dream job. I love it.
Did you have to pay your dues to get to where you are right now?
Yes, everyone has to pay their dues, especially in careers. I think especially in creative fields, there are a lot of people often that are interested in them. So you do spend a lot of time down at the bottom trying to kind of learn the ropes and feel your way along. When I was in high school and in college, I did everything that I could to work for local school publications just to get a feel for things there. I was very lucky when I graduated from college. I got a job at 17 Magazine. That was my first job. So that was a great magazine, and, you know, obviously just having graduated from college, I was very young, so pretty close to their reader in age, which made it even more fun. And, you know, I just remember how difficult it was to get that first job, and I know so many people, you know, young kids today are struggling, especially now, to find jobs as they graduate. And it took me a few months, and I literally was walking door to door with my resume just hoping that I would find an opening.
And that must have been a really great job at 17 because you've stuck with that as a career. So that must have been pretty formative.
Yes, it was a terrific job. I loved it. It was a place where I had to do a lot of writing. I worked for a smaller section within the magazine that at that time was called Mini Mag, and it was sort of mini features and profiles of teenagers. And I learned a lot about how to interview, especially since I was interviewing teenagers who aren't known for being the most forthcoming.
Yeah, I have four
interviewees.
Of them,
they would answer yes, no, uh-huh. So you really had to get kind of good at drawing people out. So it was a terrific place to learn how to be a good interviewer.
I'm the mother of four teenage boys. They're 11,
so
13,
know.
15, and 17. How was your day? Fine. What
okay.
did you do? Nothing.
Nothing.
Are you hungry?
I know, exactly.
Yes.
Well, it was true when you got them on the phone, too, and were trying to interview them because they'd won, you know, a 4-H prize or that, you know, they'd done something fabulous. It was still, it took a little while to get them to open up. And I thought it was so helpful to me in my career that I started with teens, because you really do have to win them over a little bit and help them to open up so that you get a good interview.
Yeah. Katie, did your audio get fixed? Let's see if it's all good now.
I hope so. I'm standing by the window. This is part of living on the coast.
I'm looking out at something beautiful. That's really funny. Yes, it sounds much better. Okay, so we went back to Katie drooling over all of the magazines and everything in there. Take it away,
very
Katie.
Very good. Well, we like to say it's always sunny in the pages of Coastal Living.
Even though, to tell
you the truth, you know, on coasts, because I'm a coastal person and always have been growing up, And I just think the coasts are beautiful in every season. I love winter on the beach. I love fall, spring, summer, the whole thing. So even though it's not always sunny, sometimes the storms or the snow or the rain is just spectacular to watch and to see, you know, out your window looking at the coastal view.
Oh, it's amazing. We always say it's like a different painting every day,
mm-hmm.
because the combination of clouds, and we're in the state of Washington in the mountains. I mean, it's just amazing, and it's so uplifting, as you said, regardless of the weather. But my
mm-hmm.
question to you is, when you are selecting photographs, what is that process? Because, you know, as a psychology person, I see how to capture the psychology of the picture and the theme and what you're looking at. But I'm wondering how you do that.
Well, first thing we do is we select the homes that we want to shoot, or we discuss the recipes and the food ideas behind the shoots. So we hire the photographers, and so from early on there are conversations about how we want the shoot to go and what we want in the pictures. When we start looking at the houses that are so much a part of the heart of the magazine, we just go through so many homes trying to find the right ones to showcase in the magazine. And when we do that with an eye to where the home's located. Obviously, my readers are all over the nation, and so we don't want to just give them houses in Florida or just give them houses in California. So we really try to be representative and be geographically diverse. That's one thing that I'm looking at when I'm looking at the homes. And then the same thing goes for style. Obviously, on the coast, there are so many different styles. We see very, very modern houses. We see old, you know, sea captain homes from over 100 years ago. So, again, there are a lot of different tastes out there, and so we like to represent that as well. So when I'm looking at houses, we try to kind of, you know, have a lot of different things in the mix, cozy cottages and more, you know, glass boxes, sort of the whole range. Then once we decide on the houses, then we choose the photographer that we think would be really perfect for that home. And we tend to like to shoot if we can, if the family is involved, that's great. We love to see the house, you know, being lived in the way people like to live in it and really showcase the fun that they're having with their home. We look for great outdoor spaces too, which is so important to our readers. So if there are patios or roof decks, we tend to shoot those. The kitchen, everybody loves to see pictures of kitchens and baths mm-hmm. and things. So we really shoot the whole house and just really get a feel for it. If it has a view, even better. We love seeing a home that is really opening up to the outdoors, where there's, you know, the line between the indoor and the outdoors is a little bit blurred.
Is there a certain decoration that if you see one more of them, you think you're going to freak out? Like, if I see any more anchors or starfish, I just am going to freak out. No. Do you have anything
yeah,
like
it's
that?
It's funny,
funny
because you would think that would happen. But and even a motif like an anchor or a starfish can be done in such a new or fresh way. So you're always seeing it in ways that make you, like, never sick of the starfish itself as a decor element. But yes, you have to be careful that we don't show the same ideas over and over again. So that's why, I mean, if we've done a home in Nantucket, I probably wouldn't run a Nantucket home in the very next issue, because sometimes they have similar characteristics. And what you love about a Nantucket home, you know, you'd see again possibly in another. But so that's part of the reason why we do the geographical diversity and some of the style diversity that I was talking about. But I don't know. Everyone here is kind of like a sucker for a lot of those coastal motifs. So we're happy to see the anchors and nautical knots that appear. And they just, you know, it's amazing. Like, they're just in so many fresh new ways
yeah.
all the time. You know, wallpaper, a fabric can pick up on that. And it has this coastal imagery, but it can be very sophisticated and not kitschy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is fascinating, too, that places have their own culture in their decorating, because my husband grew up on Nantucket. We used to mm-hmm. visit there regularly, and the Nantucket basket, the Cape
yeah.
Cod knot, all those pieces. And I just find that fascinating. Are there some places that you visited where you were just really, really loved the themes and the special style of that place?
I think it is really, yes, I think what you were saying about Nantucket is so true, and does give you an indication of the fact that these a lot of these seaside towns, they've been there for hundreds of years. They started as shipbuilding centers or they started as artist colonies. And that kind of tradition is often very much reflected in what we see today. It's what helps to attract the types of neighbors you might have in that town. It's what helps to attract the type of architecture that will persist there. So that's a big part of it. Just what is that the culture? And the culture is very different in, you know, La Jolla, California from Nantucket, Massachusetts. And, you know, that's the fun of being able to travel and visit a lot of these coastal towns. And it's also what makes people, you can see for every personality, someone's drawn to, you know, it's Galveston, Texas. That's their piece of coast, you know, or it's a lake, you know, it's one of the Great Lakes. So everyone has a different way of falling in love with and experiencing the coast.
I was, as you were talking about the decor in the homes, I was thinking, I'm from Minnesota. And mm-hmm. Iowa, and so I grew up nowhere near any coasts or anything like that. And at one point, I was touring around, you know, looking at homes to buy in Minnesota, and I've never seen so many moose. It's just all moose horns and deer, and here's our moose toilet paper holder.
That's right. And then there's like a whole other look if you think of something like Key West, Florida, and you have all these pastels and.
Yeah.
We've seen really fun things done with, you know, fish mounted on the walls. And and then you've got California, which can have this real surfer chic. And surfboards themselves can be pieces of art in people's homes.
Yeah, it's fascinating, all the different things that there are. And do you ever abandon format and do anything but coast? Or do you just, when this is the magazine and this is what we do, you know, that's what we do. So you don't go mm-hmm. into Iowa and show homes or anything like that. It's strictly, you know, it's just strictly coastal living, and that's what
I think
do.
It's, yes. We really keep a focus on people who love to be near the coast. They don't.
Okay.
You don't have to have a home on the coast, obviously, to read and enjoy the magazine. Many people who live in completely landlocked areas love the coast, and they like to decorate their homes in a way that mm-hmm. expresses that love. So whether it's just simply a love of lots of different blues, or whether they're, you know, using, you know, sea glass and other, or some other nautical things in their decoration. That's very common, and we see that a lot. And also, a lot of our readers simply are, you know, like to travel to the coast, so they may not live on the sea or anywhere near it, or even on a river. But when they take their vacations, this tends to be where they want to go.
Thank you for picking up on what I was really asking. Thank you for that. That's what I was asking, because I'm thinking of going back to my childhood and my early 20s and living in Minnesota and Iowa. That's really what people do also is
yeah.
they decorate their bathrooms. That's the most common place you see
huh.
it in everything coastal. It's all the rocks from where they've been and the seashells and the starfish
yeah.
they've picked up or the, you know, whatever from all the places they've been. And a lot of people do sit in Iowa and Minnesota and read this magazine as,
mm-hmm.
you know, as someplace they'd want to go or rent or look at or move to
right.
or vacation and so forth. So I just don't want to
and
leave
for a lot of people,
middle
like I said,
part of the country out.
For a lot of people that aren't near the water, too, it's the dream. They love it. Maybe they grew up on the water and they don't live there any longer, or, you know, for a time they lived on the water, or they would like to live on the water. You know, so all of those are readers that enjoy the vacation and the kind of joy, I think, that you can get out of the magazine.
Yeah.
Well, and the colors are very soothing colors. The colors, I mean, I know from the psychology of having done the research on what colors provide calm,
mm-hmm.
the colors of the water, the light turquoise,
yeah.
the blues, the gentle pastels really do leave you feeling calm.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah, blue is one of those colors, yep.
Yeah, exactly, and many people use them in their homes for that reason, because they want
mm-hmm.
to create that feeling. So you guys are wonderful for that. I mean,
well, we even just
if
did
I,
a, we did a story in a recent issue just about why the beach makes us happy. I kind of wanted to find out what some of the scientific reasons were behind, you know, the fact that if you do go on vacation to the beach, you come back feeling really restored and, you know, happy and, you know, more stress-free. Even when we look at pictures of, looking at pictures of the water, we feel we experience a lot of the same thing. You know, blood pressure kind of goes down, and, you know, it's why I think there's so many screensavers that people have on their computers that are pictures of beaches and things.
That's what I've got right now going on mine.
See?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why you're here today sharing all this wonderful wisdom with us is that the magazine actually has, I think it's a contest that we want to talk about. It's like a vote type of thing. It's America's Happiest Seaside Towns. You mentioned happy, and, you know, what a better way to start talking about, you know, the voting process for this. So I know Kennebunkport, Maine is on there, Katie. Isn't that neat?
It is. And yeah, for me, yeah, it was very exciting.
Well, this is a really, really fun thing that we do. It is called America's Happiest Seaside Towns. And we choose the 10, we chose the 10 finalists. So we did pick the top 10. But now what we're doing is we're letting America vote to order those to see who's really number one, number two, and so on. So you can go online and you can vote for your happiest seaside town and read a little bit about each one and see the pictures and then decide for yourself what you think the happiest seaside town is. And then we're going to unveil that in our upcoming June issue, which will have a bigger piece on each of these towns, and we'll rank them in the order in which America said they belong. So it's really fun. It's the second year we've done this. The first year we didn't have the voting component. We just did it ourselves and we ranked them ourselves. And then this year we thought, you know, it'll be a lot more fun to let all of our readers and all the people who visited these towns or live there get involved and tell us what they think is the best.
Is it a Twitter vote or do you go onto your website, coastalliving.com?
You go onto coastalliving.com. You can go to coastalliving.com/happytowns2013, and that'll take you direct to the vote. But if you go on just coastalliving.com, you should be able to find it as well. It's often up right there on the homepage where you can click and go straight to the voting. You're allowed to vote once an hour, so if you're really enthusiastic about one place, you can keep voting.
Oh, cool.
Try to put it in the number one spot. So that's really fun. And, you know, it was always a list that involved our readers. We asked people during the year to submit their ideas, and many, many people did, for what they thought should be looked at as a possibility for happiest seaside towns. And we also went back and looked at all of our dream towns. In every issue, we cover what we call a dream town, and we talk about a specific coastal town, and we explain a little bit about why we think it's a great town, and we also tell you about some of the houses that are for sale in the area. And so we went back and reviewed the seaside, all the dream towns that have been in our magazine, and then reviewed all the nominations that we got on Facebook and things from other people, and we put it all into the hopper, and that's how we get our list.
It sounds like you guys
have criteria that make it a dream town.
We asked two questions at once.
Sorry,
it's okay. We can't see each other, so we do that sometimes. But
okay.
Katie, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Well, what are the criteria for a dream town?
Maybe it was a little broken up. So,
yeah, your audio is kind of funny. What did you say? What is your dream town?
What is the criteria?
Well, we had dream towns. I think what I heard was you wanted to know about some of the criteria behind, you know, what makes the list.
There you go.
So what we look at on the list is, again, like we began with nominations. We began with all the past places that we have included in the magazine in past years. And from there, we began by looking at their rank on the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index. And then we added to that, we went and looked at also things like sunny days, the number of sunny and clear days the town gets, because we all feel happier when the sun is shining or it's at least clear outside. We looked at healthiness of beaches. We looked at commute times. We looked at the walkability of the town. How easy is it to get around? How, you know, what kind of a community does it have? We even looked at things like crime ratings, standard of living, financial well-being. We also added a little bit of our own assessment as far as, you know, what we thought the coastal vibe was, which is really just the, you know, the feeling that the town gives. And all of those things were used to start to determine what, you know, what should make the list this year. So each thing was kind of given a number, and we ended up with the top 15 last year, and now this year we're on to the next 10. If you were on the list before, you can't be on the list again.
That's interesting. You know, we've got people tweeting us, and they're saying things like, I need to move to a happy coastal town. Which ones? They're asking what they all are. What the 10 that they can vote for are.
Okay, the 10 that they can vote for are Beaufort, South Carolina, Harwichport, Massachusetts, La Jolla, California, Newport, Rhode Island, Rowayton, Connecticut, Paia Town, Maui in Hawaii, Pescadero, California, Sag Harbor, New York, or Sanibel Island, Florida, and not including the fact we already mentioned, of course, Kennebunkport, Maine, which you can also vote for. That's one of the 10.
Huh. Which one's your favorite?
So those are all the ones that made the short list this year. They're all amazing towns, like each one in its own right. It's so hard to do this list because, frankly, you know, and we've even said, we say to our readers, we know we're putting 10 here, and we know you all probably think wherever you live is the happiest seaside town in the country. And so that's why we always invite them to write in and tell us, and then we'll look at them again next year. But it is a tough thing to do because there are so many great towns out there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love your website, too. For those listening along, you can go to coastalliving.com. And they're also very active on Twitter, Coastal Living Magazine. You can go on Twitter, and it's Coastal Living. And I love the way you use your social media because you actually engage your fans. You don't have just information flowing outward and ignore everybody, which so many people do.
We have very, very engaged fans. Our readers do, and people that love coastal living usually do like to tell us things, which is so nice, and they do share. And so it's a very interactive community. We're on Facebook also, and we're on Pinterest too. People love the boards on Pinterest. Really, you know, we have boards that are just all stripes and boards that are like cute sea creatures and kind of everything. And Facebook too. Sometimes we put up, like right now we're looking at what might be a nice cover for next time. So we ask people what they think of a potential cover. So it is very, very interactive.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you on Pinterest. We're very active on Pinterest, too,
okay.
And it seems to be popular. So I hope you guys will follow back and
maybe pin
some things to our boards and so forth, too. I'll invite you guys to pin on our boards because it's just a really great way when you're in social media to just engage each other. And I really admire you guys for doing that and making yourselves and you accessible. Because so many people think, oh, well, she's the editor of that magazine. I can't reach her. And maybe you can't all the time and so forth, but just coming on our show for a full hour is so huge. It shows, it sets a tone for your magazine to just, you're real and reachable and nice. And you
well,
really
thank
walk
you.
The
you guys sound the same way. it's really fun. I'm happy to do it. It's one other way of sort of getting outside of your office. Otherwise, you end up too much with your head like buried in your computer, and it's great to get out. And I like to get out as much as I can and see people, see as many different coasts as I can, visit seafood dives,
Katie, whatever we can do. Katie, I was going to ask her about typos because Katie and I are the typo queens. And I am very curious what kind of pressure is on you to be perfect. I'm really serious.
For a minute,
too.
I thought, "Oh no, do we have a typo? My gosh,
I'm
mortified."
No, but I'm very curious.
We have a terrific staff here editorially that puts together the magazine. We have a copy editor that specifically reads everything before it's sent out to make sure as much as humanly possible that there isn't a mistake or a typo, as you say. And all of the editors here, we read many of the stories many times in the hopes that we catch something that might have gone in that shouldn't. So we've been very lucky, and you know, it is a pressure, obviously. It's a good pressure to be on. You want to get it right, and you want to deliver the best possible magazine for the reader. So we do everything we can to make sure that it's right and that there are no typos. But mistakes do happen, so you have to realize that.
I've never seen one, but I'm just saying that the pressure.
I'm hoping you never will.
No, I know. But Katie and I talk about this all the time, how, you know, we don't have that staff behind us or anything like that. And so, like, when we post a blog, it's with, you know, like, crossed fingers, you know, kind of, no typos, you know,
exactly.
Kind of thing. And we're human.
I think people are pretty forgiving of things like
put a typo
blogs
clause.
And some of the digital, some of the entries that you see on.
Yeah.
Line on Twitter or whatever that people are saying, obviously, they're not all perfectly proofread. Yeah. But the magazine, yeah.
Yeah. Katie, go. I hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Am
yeah,
I back?
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Sorry
well,
about
I was
the
audio
problem.
Well, since I feel like I live in the happiest coastal town in America, I'm wondering if somebody does live in a happy coastal town and wants to send in something, should we send a photograph or a statement, or how do you do that?
Uh-huh. Well, you can do it online. We have a call out on coastalliving.com. If you go there and you look at some of the happiest seaside towns, there's a section that says, do you think yours is the happiest? And yes, you can upload photos. You can tell us about the town. So there's lots of ways to alert us to the fact that your town is the best. If your town is one of the 10 that I just mentioned, the best way to alert us to the fact that it's the best, of course, is to go online and vote for your town so that it can win. And so we're always, you know, we want to hear from people. So there's plenty of ways to get our attention and let us know about your town.
So we have somebody tweeting us. And we have a chat room open on the show, too. So we've got a bunch of questions for you. Do you mind us taking
some questions? I'll do my best.
Okay. We have Deb Scott from The Best People We Know, and Deb's in Massachusetts. And hi, Deb. and we're in the snowstorm and everything. And she's wondering, how do you find all the best communities coastal magazines suggest, for example, like in Florida? It's a real specific question, but she loves Florida, and she's wondering, does the magazine have a search, you know, does the website have a search function or anything like that on how to get that information?
Yes. You can, on the website, you can go and specifically find things about Florida, and you can find all the places that we've mentioned in Florida in the magazine, so you can look at restaurants and hotels and such and do that through, you know, online on coastalliving.com, so it's a great place to do it. As far as where we get our information, we have a travel editor who works for us. We have travel writers all over the place, and they either editors here or the writers have gone and experienced these places, and we've eaten there or stayed there or seen it. So that is what we use and what really helps us to put in the magazine what we think are some really fun places. And, again, we try to get around, you know, and try to – show places in Florida and California and Michigan and all over the country because we know that people are interested in all those coasts. But Florida is a big state for us. A lot of our readers are in Florida. A lot of people love to travel to Florida. So if she goes online, there's an awful lot of information about Florida. And like I said, it's a big state, so she can pick her area.
Yeah. I want to just take a moment too, and thank you to all the people who are retweeting and tweeting with us right now. We have Vinod in India retweeting us right now as we're speaking. We have Showcasing Women. We have a Virginia who is tweeting us, and we have another question, and it's about California. Somebody is asking what you would specifically recommend as a spot in California, or maybe I could expand upon that and maybe say what are maybe five favorite spots that you have in California that are coastal towns. Yeah, it's funny. People want to know. They're getting access to you.
I told you. People are very, very specific. Wow, California again. Like you, that's a huge state.
There are so
many great places to go and stay. There's, you know, Santa Monica. We have, of course, on the list this time from the America's Happiest Seaside Towns. La Jolla, California is on our list. And La Jolla is beautiful. I've been there. That is one of the places that I would say is an extremely beautiful community.
La Jolla.
Yeah, you've got the ocean bluffs. Yeah. You've got the beaches. It's sort of just jutting out into the ocean. Mm. Obviously, the average temperature, and this is true for a lot of California.
Beautiful.
You know, it's just perfect kind of all year round. They definitely have that going for them. And, you know, it has lots of art galleries. And so a really fun and vibrant downtown. And I think, you know, that's something that we always look for with the America's Happiest Seaside Towns also is, you know, is the downtown vibrant? Is there something going on? Are there fun restaurants? Are there hotels? Is it walkable?
Beautiful. And close enough to the zoo and close enough to, you know, all the things that you can do there in San Diego.
Right.
La Jolla is gorgeous.
Right.
Gorgeous.
I love Santa Monica, too.
Oh,
I think Santa Monica is a great spot. and I've enjoyed visiting there. And Hermosa Beach, we just did Hermosa Beach as a dream town in a recent issue. And that's just a really fun place because it has a boardwalk and just a big, beautiful, deep beach.
You're in Southern now. I'm thinking of like Sausalito. I love Sausalito.
Now you're on Sausalito. Also amazing.
The sailboats and the houseboats. And,
I'm sorry, yeah. This question is impossible to answer.
Well, I'm
going to have to go.
Too. I love California.
I just want to go to California now. I'm going to have to go and spend about a month there for this.
Exactly.
For the person who asked this question, and I will like look into it much more carefully. Then.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. We're going to have to take a vacation there, and we'll get back to you.
That's right.
About 6 weeks, do another show. That's really funny. Yeah, La Jolla. You know, I visit La Jolla fairly often, not so much since I've moved to Maine, but, you know, just I used to go there all the time. And one of the cab drivers who was driving me around said, you know, I'm a swimmer, and I swim from La Jolla to, I don't know, the other spot across the bay there. And he was swimming, and he said a whale went right underneath him. And what
That's
do you
incredible.
Do when a whale goes right underneath you? You
hold your
keep
breath.
Swimming. Oh, my gosh, can you imagine?
That's
swimming
pretty fabulous. And
you
know, that's one of the reasons, actually, Kennebunkport, Maine's on our list. One of the reasons it's on the list. A lot of people, you know, there's a lot of whale watching there. I hope maybe you've seen some. There's something, that's what's amazing about the sea. And I think it's one of the things that draws people to it is the wildlife, is the sea life. And the fact that you can be, you know, surprised by that and you see this amazingly, you know, wonderful creature, it's pretty outstanding to be able to be there when something like that happens. So I think that person should count themselves as lucky, if possibly terrified. But
yeah, I go in the check terrified. But
the terrified,
you know,
box.
And another one of, I know Katie loves this town too, is Monterey. And actually Monterey Bay was one of the most exquisite, beautiful whale watches I've actually ever been on in my lifetime. I go on whale watches all the time anywhere I live, and I love them. And I took my kids on this whale watch, and we encountered a pod of like 1,500 dolphins, and then plus the whale, plus the, you know, all the other things in the sea that day. It was just a little mini like New York of sea life, you know, just crazy busy in the ocean, that particular whale watch, and it was beautiful.
That's, yeah, see, that creates a real memory that your whole family will have forever. I think that's so nice.
Yeah.
I mean, while we're on the subject of California, I just wanted to say last year's list, which was the first time we did our America's Happiest Seaside Towns, had a lot of California representation. Sausalito was on the list. You mentioned Sausalito. That was number 3, actually, last year on our list of happiest towns. Mm. Also, Tiburon, California was on the list, too. Laguna Beach, Half Moon Bay, and I think there's one other, Stinson Beach.
Yep. Oh, Stinson Beach. You just have to be careful of the great white sharks.
Okay.
So,
well, we're not looking out for the whales. We'll look out
for the magazine. Be careful of the great white sharks. Stinson Beach is famous. It's beautiful. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. But if you get in the water, you just want to be slightly careful because that is where the sharks are. That's the one thing I would note on that one.
So you're going to note on that one.
Having lived there.
So it sounds like have you lived in California, I take it?
Yeah, I lived there for a really long time. I had a house in the Bay Area in Walnut Creek, and then I had a house up in Tahoe. There's that mountain house. And we would go back and forth and travel all around California and so forth. We moved to Maine in 2004 for a job.
And then never left.
And have not left. I think Maine's beautiful.
That's great. You've been on both coasts and love them both. That's perfect.
yeah, absolutely. Katie, did you want to, is your audio better again?
I think so. I hope so. I'm in a different place now, so I'm hoping it's going to stay. I mean, it is really literally living on the coast. Sometimes this happens, and it's a challenge when you're up high and near the water. But anyway, can you hear me? Is it working? Oh, good. Okay. Well, my question was something that perked my interest earlier on when you were talking about lakes. I grew up on Lake Champlain, and many times it was compared to the coast of, you know, the seaside coast. And I'm just wondering if some of the lakeside communities are mentioned as well in coastal.
Absolutely. Yeah, we love the lakeside communities. And as you said, they're so absolutely gorgeous homes on lakes and great villages and towns that people want to visit. Last year's list, we had Lake Bluff, Illinois on the list, which is, you know, outside Chicago and has, you know, such a charming town and has all these sort of Queen Anne and also even Midwestern prairie style homes. And again, lots of city parks and outdoor concerts on the village green. So a very strong community, one that, you know, is very much has a seaside lifestyle and it's in the Midwest. So we love that. And we do try to cover that and the towns there as much as possible that are on the Great Lakes as well.
Yeah, neat. Yeah, there is a seaside relaxing energy when you live on the coast. It really is a specific kind of lifestyle. And can you talk about that a little more so people
sure.
understand it?
It is a very specific type of lifestyle. And sometimes we say, I think it's one of the reasons we called our list not just, you know, our best towns. It's not the best towns. It's not like, it's the happiest towns, because happy is so much a part of what it means to people to be on or near the coast or to visit the coast. And it's I think, a feeling of being relaxed. Sometimes I talk about it as sort of a more beautiful you. There's something about being near being on the coast. I think we feel better. We think we look better. I don't know, everything kind of is prettier. The sunset, sunrise. So there's a really good feeling, and it definitely comes in part from the feeling of relaxation. I think we often associate the coast with a vacation, which is obviously immediately something that reduces our stress. I think we associate it with good memories, as, you know, being children and going to the beach or having had a great memory, and you've talked about some of them that occurred on beaches or occurred on the water. And so people bring that to it, too. And we also like to say, like, in our magazine, we have a little bit of a wet bathing suit, sandy foot feel to it. So even though a lot of our homes are absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, they are also spaces that feel inviting. It's not a velvet rope home. It's not something where you're afraid to sit on the sofa. These are homes that are used by people that are in and outdoors all the time and you know, love entertaining and love having family and friends over. And that's what makes it special.
You know, I just have a question about hurricanes for a little bit here. I wondered how coastal living was impacted with all of the hurricane.
Oh yeah, that's so tough. Obviously, being on the coast, we can experience some very violent weather. This is something that I think all coastal dwellers, who are incredibly resilient people, have known for a long time. And as much as they love the nature that's out there, sometimes Mother Nature can be cruel too. And we did see great devastation from Superstorm Sandy that came up through the East Coast recently. And, you know, we've seen it in the past, and sadly we will see it again at various times. What, you know, we do try to talk about storm preparedness where we can, as far as, you know, building materials or always pointing out in articles, if someone has built a home near the water or has renovated a home, some of the things they might have done to make their home stand up to even when it's not a hurricane, just like the salt spray and the wind. And there are things about being near the coast that can do a number on everything from your paint to your, you know, to the material that you have on your patio. So it's definitely a constant concern. After Sandy, we have an area on our website where we invited a number of people from who had been affected in many and various ways, because people were affected, some a little and some a whole lot, who wrote essays about, you know, what they experienced. We gave them some hurricane preparedness tips there, and we also talked about ways in which they could contribute through Red Cross and help people who unfortunately were, you know, heavily impacted by it. So it's a constant issue. It's a constant concern. But as I said, I think it's a very resilient group of people who live on the coast, and they will rebuild, and we will keep finding ways to make our homes stronger and better and safer.
I think it would be neat actually to see some of them land in the happiest seaside towns, because the resilience is a great word for it. They it's amazing to me, all the destruction and devastation, and some people still have just an incredible smile, warmth,
yes,
and energy, and right, community to them.
Yes, absolutely, and we wish all of them well, and we know they're going to be all back on their feet soon, and I'm looking forward to hearing all those stories of people rebuilding and getting back, you know, what they had before.
Yeah. Katie, are you, sorry.
Well,
we're really having audio problems. I apologize. So if I keep saying Katie's name, we don't normally
do that. I think
Katie's
just enjoying the view. So.
Yeah, I know. Katie's kind of like, oh, I'm asleep. It's beautiful.
She's soaking up all the relaxed vibe that I'm talking about. So she's
exactly,
she's done.
Katie, are you awake over there?
Katie's flipping through the magazine, and she's like looking at the pretty pictures.
Hilarious.
Oh, you're sweet. No, I was just thinking about the sense of community in a coastal town. They're really, you know, when you go on vacation and sometimes you go back to the same place every year,
yeah,
and you get to know the people, and that is very much the feel in a coastal town. And one of the things I love, you capture that in the magazine because all the pictures are places for people to sit and converse. I mean, you really capture that idea of, okay, where are you going to sit and have a conversation while you look out at the water, like I am doing.
Like you're doing.
You know, you're having the
with your fireplace.
With yourself. And I'm just teasing you. You're all quiet and zoned
well,
out over there.
Yeah.
Funny.
One of the things we have on the website also is called View of the Day. And it is so popular, and it's exactly what we're talking about. It's just really capturing the magic of the coast. It's an amazing photo. It changes every day. We add an inspirational coastal quote to make it even more fabulous. But you just look at this picture, and you're like, oh, that's great. You know, you're like right now I'm sitting here looking at a picture of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And people who go online just love this. The View of the Day is like one of the most popular things that we do.
Oh,
one of the
yeah,
simplest and most popular things.
I want to thank them. Oh, go ahead. Well, it sounds absolutely beautiful. And that, in fact, somebody just tweeted us about that. And I also want to thank Joe Schoolcraft in Twitter for his retweets. He's been tweeting us throughout the show and telling people about that you're on and talking and so forth. And that's another Massachusetts person who lives on the coast. And so much beauty. I'm wondering, we've talked a lot about architecture and homes and things like that, but what about all of the other things that go with living on a coastal community, like all the different little shops and the places you can eat and the activities?
Definitely. Well, we love to shop. We love to eat. That makes it so much more fun. And often the coastal towns do have great little downtown areas. They have terrific shopping. Kennebunkport, Maine is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. You've got the great little Dock Square area there. And, you've got everything from being able to go for a lobster roll at Mabel's Lobster Claw to shopping at, there's a little store there called Day Trip, Day Trip Society. Mm-hmm. It has really fun, cute stuff. There's great hotels. You can go to the Tides Beach Club, the cottages at Cabot Cove. So, yes, often these communities are so charming because added to, you know, everything you love about being near the sea are colorful shops and restaurants, and that means people, too. So you get to see lots of good people watching.
Oh, yeah.
I used to, one of my first waitressing jobs was at Allison's, which is a restaurant in Kennebunkport that
uh-huh,
everyone goes to on a rainy day.
Right.
I mean, it's packed. Mm-hmm. And that is such a great spot where you meet the locals, everybody comes through there. When President Bush was in town, you could see the entourage go flying through town. and you see all kinds of people in Kennebunkport. It's a really interesting place. It really is.
Right.
That's
it's
a great
very,
place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not biased at all.
Not biased at all.
No.
Well, that's
what
you got. How
many
times have you voted since we've been on the phone call?
Exactly. I have no idea.
If you're going on like Kennebunkport,
Katie. Katie's over there voting. I'm curious, when you look at Maine, what was the deciding factor to choose Kennebunkport over
Well,
perhaps, like,
yeah, that's
Harbor?
A good question. Well, Kennebunkport actually has a pretty high percentage of clear or sunny days. You were kind of, yeah, I was surprised. There you go. Florida and California towns were beating you out, but, you know, not by a lot, so this was good. Clean water, definitely you're up there for that. Clean air as well. And you were really among the highest in the group for clean air. I think the top one for clean air was in Maui, so you should feel very proud of that. You had a good walkability score as well, which means, you know, it was easy to get around. You can do a lot of things in town on foot. It's a very pedestrian-friendly town. And, you know, we talked about that. I think everybody feels that's in a very important kind of quotient in what makes it a fun seaside town. We also looked at commute times because that goes towards happiness, too. The longer you spend commuting, the more it's going to impact on your state of mind. So
you don't have a commute here. I mean,
there you go. It's the best
commute
time of all.
You can get anywhere.
You commute from your bedroom to your living room. Or
well, but no, seriously, I mean, having lived all around the country, there is no traffic here.
Right.
At all. I mean, it literally, to go to Portland, Maine from, like, I live in Falmouth, to go to Portland, Maine, it's, you know, all of 10 minutes to get there, and there's never any traffic or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you miss that, Katie?
No, but here, you know who blocks traffic here is the deer. That's
she's an Anacortes, by the way. I don't know if we told you that, but she's an Anacortes.
Washington. I'm right on the edge of the San Juans.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, at least the whales aren't blocking traffic, you know.
No.
This is funny. All right. Let me just do a check on time here. We've got about 10 minutes left. And, I really want to just cover again just the website. It's coastalliving.com, and they're Coastal Living on Twitter. And then also just recap America's Happiest Seaside Towns. The voting takes place hourly. You can vote hourly if you want to, from January 10th to February 28th. You go to coastalliving.com/happytowns2013, or you can go via your smartphone by downloading a free app. I don't know what a Digimarc Discover app is, but what would that be? Would
well,
that
it's
be the
pretty
Coastal
new.
Living
That's
app?
Probably why you don't know what it is. But so in our March issue, which is on the stands now, which is a really great issue, by the way, people should get this one because it's all about color. So it has a big, it has a beautiful yellow, painted yellow home in the Bahamas on the cover, and it says Sunny Color right on the cover. So you will recognize it as our color issue. And inside each magazine, we now have something that's called Digimarc. It's not everywhere, but you'll see little signs throughout the magazine that say, you know, Digimarc. And what it's a free app that you can download on a smartphone. And then you just take a picture of the picture that's in the magazine, basically, with this app. And then it can take you to a video, or it could take you to, like, vote for the happiest town. One example is we have a little column called Make It Coastal in the magazine, where we tell people something that they, you know, something fairly simple that they can do themselves to kind of take an ordinary object and make it coastal. So in this issue, for example, we take a plain tray, and with decoupage and some nautical maps, we make this really cute coastal tray. And you can take your smartphone with the Digimarc app and scan the picture of the tray that we have, and it will take you straight to a video, a step-by-step video, so you can see how we made the tray. So it's used for things like that. It gives you something a little extra, and a lot of people, when they read their magazines, which is a great leisure experience, and people just love curling up with a cup of coffee and going through Coastal Living, but they're also usually have their iPhone in their hands or their smartphone, and so this gives you an opportunity to go, like, straight to a really cool step-by-step video. In a recent issue we did, it took you to a trailer of the movie Safe Haven, because we had interviewed Nicholas Sparks in that issue. Cool. Or it can take you straight to the website to look at something more there. Like, maybe you want to look at a whole, like, all the most romantic bedrooms we've ever done. That might be something that we would send people to. So it's just kind of dotted throughout the magazine, and it's just a really fun way to take the magazine, you know, and bring you even further, like, out of the pages and into something else.
Yeah. Can we go back to you for a minute? I know you're here on behalf of Coastal Living Magazine, but I'm still back on being completely fascinated by everything
so
that you've
nice.
Achieved in your life. It's really inspirational, you know, because I'm sure there have been a number of glass ceilings you've had to almost break through to do, you know, just amazing to get to where you are. It cannot have been easy.
I don't think anyone's jobs are easy, probably. we all sort of struggle to be the best that we can or do the best we can for the companies that we work for. So I'm not sure it's that much different from other people, but
women are doing amazing things.
they are.
I mean, we're achieving things that we've never achieved before, and we have a new generation of all of, you know, these young women coming up and learning from all the things that we're doing. In fact, we just launched Best Ever Teens. And
wow.
So that's kind of why
good.
I'm going there. So we have Best Ever You now and Best Ever Teens. And we have this, just, Katie, they're amazing, aren't they? They make my jaw drop, these young women.
They are. And I loved what you said earlier when you said you started interviewing teens.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was taking notes. I was definitely taking notes. Because
that was a great first job to be at 17 Magazine. I spent years working at weddings magazines too. I did Modern Bride, which was a great publication as well. So it's been, I am just so lucky. I am just doing exactly what I love to do. And when I'm not editing, I like writing. And when I'm not editing or writing, I like reading books and reading magazines. And I love the fact that these days, too, magazines are part of a much bigger community. As you said, we're part of people's social interaction on Twitter, on Facebook, online. And we just try to be on tablet, whatever. We just try to be everywhere that people who love the coast are so that they can access the information that we have and to, you know, be able to share with them. So it just keeps getting better, because when I started in this field, it was you could only access them through the print magazine, and they would write you a letter, you know. and so now there are just so many more ways to touch people and to reach them, and, you know, so many more ways for them to use your website and use the magazine and enjoy Facebook and, you know, be tweeting and being on Pinterest and all the other things that we probably don't even know are yet to come. So it's really fun and exciting.
How do you mentor other young women and men who want to follow in your career path?
Well, I would be happy to, yes.
Yeah, well, I'm just curious if you're at a point.
Exactly. Sometimes through school or whatever, you do get calls, and I would try to at least speak to people to answer any of their questions. And, you know, this is the type of industry where you always are hiring young people, and we have interns, and that's a wonderful way to start and learn. And you know, we're a pretty small staff here, so even the newbies on the staff are very involved, and we value their ideas.
Interns for a minute, because I was interviewing Robin Mead, and you know, I kind of asked her the same thing. You know, what are the interns like? Do they take it? You know, I remember being an intern in broadcasting because I was a news anchor, and you know, I spent my whole internship at that place going, look, how can I be my best here to get a job here when I'm done with this internship? And Robin Mead said so many people spend their whole internship just putting the internship on their resume and sending resumes out, that she's shocked if they would have spent, you know, and I'm paraphrasing Robin Mead, of course, you know, I'm not giving her words out exactly, but, you know, it was like, whereas if they would have just invested their time and energy into the actual internship, they probably would have had a job.
Well, yes, if you take advantage of them properly, internships are, I mean, I have four kids also, so as they've grown up, they've all done different things, and sometimes an internship shows you that you don't have any interest in that particular career,
that could be,
and
it
you
too.
Should find something else.
That's funny.
Too.
For everybody listening live.
You know, it's wonderful, wonderful opportunities for kids, you know, who are in college or out of college even, and are, you know, that they, where they can go into a field that they're interested in and work and find out more about it.
For 1 minute here. We're at the end of the show here, and so we're going to cut off live to everybody listening live. You can go back and listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/besteveryou, and the show will be featured and so forth. But we're going to keep recording to finish the show out properly, and you can just come back and listen to the end of the show. So sorry to interrupt you there. I just wanted to catch that before it cut off to everybody who's listening.
Yes, no problem. We will wrap up.
But we were talking about internships and how, just repeat yourself maybe about how you
were
saying this.
I was saying they can be wonderful opportunities for students to find out whether it's a career that interests them, and certainly if it is one, if they use it to their advantage, I think it's extremely helpful on their resume, and it also is a great learning experience for them because they can really start to see what other, in my field at least, see what the other editors are doing and really learn from them, and you get a lot of great, like, on-the-ground experience.
Okay, and before we go, you're the author of 14 nonfiction books.
Written a lot of books.
That's a lot of books and a lot of writing and so forth. Could you talk about your books, please?
I'm not sure that any – well, let's see. I'm not sure. Many of them would no longer be in print probably, but I've written on everything from pregnancy and childbirth to parenting.
Uh-huh.
I have a humor book. I've done beauty. So it's a lot. I've done books on weddings.
Beautiful.
So it's a pretty varied field. For many, many years I was a health writer, so I did a lot of health books and I did a lot of parenting books. Sometimes as a writer or as an editor, I think things follow kind of the arc of your life. When we talked about the fact that I kind of started at 17 magazine, I was young and I was fairly close to that age group. And then, you know, I did a lot of writing for magazines like Brides, and then I started doing a lot of parenting. You can see it following the arc from, like, just graduating from college, got married, having babies, et cetera. So I think it tends to follow that arc, and so the health and the parenting was, you know, for a long time was an area that, and still is an area that I'm interested in, and so it was one that I wrote about a lot. And now, you know, I'm so lucky to be now at Coastal Living doing all the things I love. I love travel, love food, love homes, and more than anything, love the coast and love the sea. So it's so wonderful that at many various parts of my life I've been able to be involved with books or with magazines that really reflect my own life and what I love.
Yeah. And how is it with, just real quick, how is it with printing and the magazine actually in hard copy? Do you want to direct people to an online copy as well, like through their smartphones, or is everything just print?
Well, you can get Coastal Living on your tablets. So it's really up to the consumer to
okay.
see what they like best. The magazine is available on newsstands. The magazine is available by subscription. The magazine is available on tablet, and then if you want just the general community information, that's, you know, the online, the Facebook, and the Twitter, and the Pinterest, and all. So there are many ways to access the brand. To access the magazine, you either have to buy it on the newsstand, physically subscribe to it, or virtually subscribe to it on tablet.
Got it. All right, Katie, anything final before we go here?
No, I think you've just made my husband very excited to hear that it's on Pinterest, because then I won't have scrapbooks all over the house.
That's really funny. She's over there with her scissors now. Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Well, I love that too. You know, it is fun
scissors.
To get involved and, like, get your little hands on things too and rip out pieces of paper and keep them in file folders. People love that too.
Oh, goodness. The whole show, she's been looking outside with her little kindergarten scissors, putting together a collage. I can just hear it. I'll take a picture when we're done. Anyway, I'm teasing it. All right. Well,
I'm glad
you
had fun. I think we all did. Thank you so much for having me on.
What a joy to get to know you, and just a blessing to have you for the full hour. And I think you completely inspired Deb Scott over at Best People We Know, because she is so wanting to move out of Massachusetts, and I can hear her clicking on the website.
Oh, she's checking out more towns in California or Florida. Oh, that's great.
All right. Thank you so much. And just one final thing for Katie and I. We have a book coming out, and we have two final things to close out with. Katie and I have a book coming out. It's being published by Hay House. It's called Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through. It's in pre-order. You can go to Amazon.com, and I think you can just type in Percolate, right, Katie? And it comes right up.
Yes.
And you can pre-order the book. It's about $10. And so we'd love for everybody to do that. And also, at the top of the show, I forgot to mention our sponsor. Whoops! We love you, Del Amore. You're always so patient with us. But this show is sponsored by Del Amore in Vermont, delamore.com, and we absolutely love them. Frank Del Amore is the owner, and you can find him on Twitter at Del under Bar Amore and delamore.com, and then they're on Facebook. And we're doing some giveaways on besteveryou.com. But before we go, Katie, we have to tell the story of Delamore about how I moved to Maine and was being a very lazy cook and didn't want to make homemade pasta sauce. So I went into Hannaford. And I grabbed a jar of Delamore pasta sauce, not knowing what it was, and served it up to my family. And they were sitting around the table. Katie, I don't know if you've ever done this. But they're like, wow, Mom, this is the best pasta sauce. I can't believe you made this and everything. And then I had to fess up. I did not make it by scratch. It was Delamore, and we've been friends with Delamore since, like, 2004. So they're
My family loves it, too. It is really good. It is really, really good. Very good.
It's gluten-free, no added sugar, and just a great product. So we hope you'll visit our sponsor, and we absolutely hope that you will subscribe to Coastal Living Magazine. Cool magazine. Antonia is very beautiful and very well-spoken and a great editor who makes no typos.
We love Thank you. Don't say that. Don't even say that.
No. We love it. I think it's incredible. The magazine's beautiful. The website's beautiful. And please take a moment, everybody, and vote. And we're not saying vote for Maine. We're saying vote for wherever you want to vote for. We just live in Maine, and this show is aired all over the world. We have somebody from India listening to it, for example. But it's America's happiest seaside town. You can vote hourly from January 10th to February 28th at coastalliving.com/happytowns2013. And you can also download the free Digimark Discover app, which we told you about in the show. And that information and the winner will come out in newsstands in the June 2013 issue, which goes out in newsstands in May, so May 17th.
Right.
Awesome.
Right. Very good.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much. And
thank you.
Yeah, and I hope you have a happy day. And please, everybody on the East Coast, stay safe. The wind is about to kick up. We are expecting 50 to 70 mile an hour winds, which is my term for snowicane.
Yeah, good term.
And, yeah, it's right, snowing, but it on
stay
a nap,
safe,
it looks...
stay warm, and enjoy the day.
Yeah,
thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Antonia and Katie. Wake up.
Enjoy today.
Katie. All right. Lots of love, everyone. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.